nanohub.org.
Online simulation and more for nanotechnology.
So, thanks, Matty, for giving us a talk on transport. So, I will get continued. My name is Yuhi. I will give another example on band-to-band tunneling device. So, okay, I think you have heard the introduction from Professor Klemek on Tuesday on band-to-band tunneling device. So here I will just briefly remind you what is a tunneling device. So tunneling device is promising for a low power application. It has low subthreshold slope and high on-off ratio. So this figure shows the structure from experiment. It is taken from mine project. So you can see that it is made from P-type gallium antimonide and N-type indium arsenide. So on this device, you will expand electrons injected from source, then going in this direction, then extract out from chain to chain. So it is kind of a vertical tunneling effect. So it is a nonlinear geometry because you expect electrons to go in here, then turn around and go into chain. And it is a broken gap. It has a broken gap band structure in these electrons and holes. So how will this device supposed to work? If you look at this cartoon figure of the band structure, this side is gallium antimonide and this side is indium arsenide. When these two materials meet each other, the electrons from the valence band of gallium antimonide will run into the conduction band of indium arsenide. So this is how it should work. We will try to set up a simulation task using LIMO 5. The input deck is here in the NCN Summer School folder. There is a folder called Matter Transport UHI, and we will use this input deck. In this simulation, we will use SP3 as a star type bonding model, and the gallium antimonide will be P-type doped with doping density 4E18, and indium arsenide will be N-type doped with density 5E17, and an L-shaped structure will be used. And it will produce an Irie curve like this, and the local density of stage as this. So this is the structure of this input deck. It is a little bit complicated, so I will explain how to set up such a structure later. So here we have gallium antimonide, and here we have indium arsenide, and the source is constructed with gallium antimonide, and the gen is constructed with indium arsenide. We have oxide here, and we have a gate here, and we have periodic boundary conditions in the in-plane direction. So to set up system structure, we do what we did before. We define the material, we define the domain, and we define geometry. So far, what you have seen is a homogeneous structure. So here we have a hetero structure. So I will talk about how to set up such a structure. First, we need to define all the materials for this structure. Here we define the gallium antimonide for region 1. And we define several options for the bands and band edge. This is for the semi-classical density solver. I will talk about that later. And we define the doping type as P here, and the doping density. Then we define the other material, indium arsenide, and we need to define the bands also. And we define the doping type as N and doping density. And then we define the oxide region, which is silicon dioxide. So it is a transport problem, so we have to define our device. Then the device should be collected with the contact. So we have two contacts here, the source and the drain. And we need to define the direction of the contact, which is used for the the self-energy calculation. And we have a Poisson solver here, so we have to define the finite element domain for the Poisson solver. And we say the Legendre periodicity is true, that means we don't use the periodic boundary conditions for Poisson. Okay, how to define such L-shaped geometry? We have defined the domains. It is constructed with source, drain, and the device. So it is basically a chunk with this dimension. And we define region 1 here. So it is constructed with gallium antimonide. So we define the region 2 and 5, which is made with indium arsenide, as here, the green one. After that, we define the oxide region, that is region 3 and region 4. Okay, then from this figure, you can see the overlap between the regions and the domain. So basically, you get what you have seen before, the structure. And then you define the gate region, which is put on the outside. So after you set up the structure, you will need to define a simulation flow. So for this Bentham-Bentham learning device, we will use the semi-classical solver. So why do we use a semi-classical solver? Because you can see that we have a triangular well here. Basically, in ballistic simulation, the electrons cannot fill this well. So a fully quantum subconsistent calculation is very difficult to converge. And yeah, we should be able to fill this well with introducing some Fourier scattering mechanism. So, but with Fourier scattering, it is numerically very expensive. So we introduce another method to do that. We introduce a semi-classical model. In this case, it provides a very good approximation and it is very fast. So what is the simulation flow now? We have a semi-classical density and Poisson iteration. And after it converge, it will give you a electrostatic potential. Then we put this electrostatic potential into our transport calculation. So I will talk a little bit about the transport software options. Here we use a lot of meta software, which called the meta transport semi-potential, which should be put in the folder as your input, with your input deck. Then we define the transport type as transport matrix. And we define the active regions. Basically, it is the regions, of your device. Then we define the contact domains as source, drain, and gate. Then we define the voltages for these three contacts. Then here we say we use Poisson potential as true. That means we take the potential from Poisson solver and we define the type bounding basis. And we say use semi-classical potential as true. That means we will use the semi-classical density and Poisson iteration. Then we define the energy range and the number of energy points. In this case, we take the 960 energy points. Then because we have periodic boundary conditions along the in-plane direction, so we have to define the k-space for that. And we need to define the number of k-points for such a k-space. And I will introduce some more options here, which should be able to give you the multidimensional data. So what we can produce potential, free charge, transmission, spectrum density, and the local density of states. So how do we do that? First, we will define an option called output along paths, which you will put into what data you want to produce. So here we'll produce the conduction band edge, valence band edge, potential, and free charge. Then you will define the pass points. We define 4 points here. Basically, it is the line shows on your on this figure. And we define how many points between these pass points. Then after you run this simulation, it will give you some output. So we have a lot of outputs. First is the .log file, which gives you the monitor output. And it will produce a temporary output called potential something. Then it will give you a list of outputs for each voltage point. Here we have a .vtk, which gives you all the atomistic quantities. I think Maddie has shown that for you. And we have a .sy file. This gives you the data along this path you define in the input deck. Then we produce a transmission file. It will produce the local density of states. So it is the energy and spatial resolve data. And you will have the energy resolve charge density and the potential. Then finally, you will have underscore current.data file, which gives you the voltage and current. And also you will have a structure. So here I show you the underscore current.data file. So how does it look like? You have 6 columns here. The first one is your bias on the source contact. And here is the terminal current in the source contact. And here is the bias in the drain contact. And here is the terminal current at the drain contact. Here is the gate bias and here is the gate current. So we will plot our ID VG figure from these 2 columns later. Then we will have .sy file, which gives you the data along the path points you define. So the first column is the distance on your path. The second column is the conduction band edge, and the third column is the valence band edge, and then come from the potential and the free charge. We will plot the band edge along the line later. Then we will have the local density of a state file here. The first column gives you the energy points. You do a calculation, and each line here gives you the spatial resolve, the density of a state at each of these energy points. Okay, so now we will do an exercise. Basically, after you run this simulation, it will give you all those output files. So this simulation is a complicated one, so it may take you for more than 2 hours. So I have put the related output files in this folder. So you can go into this folder and copy that to your folder. Then you will launch MATLAB, then you will say plot underscore current. You will have the
you will have the IDRG curve shown on the left. So I will also do that here. So if you have any question, please raise your hand.
Okay. So I guess just in general, like for using with all these meta solvers, are they documented or do you just need to go through the Python scripts and kind of figure it out? Or we need to create our own for a given problem?
I don't think so. I think this is this meta solver is kind of general. So if you look at the .in file, you should be able to run any simulation, I believe.
How would you turn on the various scattering mechanisms?
The scattering mechanisms here, we should... Oh, I haven't shown here. I remember that should be another option says scattering equals true.
So that enabled all. And what scattering are there?
So far here we use how was that? It is a local stack scattering model, which basically, it is an elastic scattering model, which basically, it gives you, how can I say that, gives you an integration with some energy range on your specific energy points, then.
Yeah. And we have several scattering models under development. There are local scattering polynomials, the elastic
But you know, I guess just the most sophisticated scheduling models, I would suggest you post questions on the discussion forum, because you know, in the next few weeks we should get more and more of those.
So what about interior scattering, for example?
Interior scattering, we usually implement atomistically, so you have a discrete randomness and you do a lot of calculations. You basically average them through a calculation theory results. However, we also have plans to have scattering self-entries. So you do the, in this case, you would do the statistics in the self-entries. So, but as I said, since we have already a scheme working for the impurities, this kind of scattering maybe would just, as I say, a lower priority than the total scattering. But this is in our task force.
Okay, so I mean, right now it's not as simple as turning up and on the input file.
Well, yes, it is. You can turn on scattering, turn scattering on. I think we have a few options. Maybe you know it better than me about the phone energies.
Oh yes.
But yes, that's just a few options. It's nothing big. Unfortunately, we haven't included that in the tutorial. But please go ahead, post a question on the discussion forum and easily answer. I think maybe you have.
I have a question about capacity and different interactions that the interface. Now we have gallium arsenide parameters, we have indium and different parameters.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the arsenide and different interactions?
I think on the interface, we just do the average on that. Not?
The way the structure is set up, it will never happen that an anion is close to an anion. So that's why we have this initial structure, the base material, where we assume a given crystal structure, and then we just replace the atoms depending on the material before we do a relaxation. So there's alternating antimon and bonding.
Okay, so everyone get this curve. I will get continue. So the last exercise, we will plot the spatial and energy resolve dense double stage. So there is a MATLAB script called plot ParallelDOS. So if you run that, it will give you the such a figure. So this black line shows the band edge. This is the conduction band edge, and this is the valence band edge, and this is this is the energy, and this figure shows you the energy resolve dense double stage. So if we are any questions?
So the position is like an x dimension of the path or the path?
This is the path. The path will define the input tag. So basically, you can plot the distance double stage along any path you want. Okay, so if anyone, everyone can follow me, I will go ahead. So how did you understand these results? So this is what we have shown before. We will expect the electrons injected from the valence band of gallium antimonide nitride into the conduction band of indium arsenide. So this figure basically shows the results as what we expect. This side is the gallium antimonide and this side is the indium arsenide. And we will see clearly electrons were injected from here to here. So this is corresponding to the on stage in your IDVG curve. And we show another figure, which is in the off stage. So you can see clearly that electrons cannot inject it into the valence, into the conduction band of indium arsenide side. That's why it is, at the off stage. So the conclusion, our transport code can calculate quantum transport using NEGF or transport matrix method. We can do a quantum self-consistent calculation. That means quantum transport iterate with Poisson, or we use a semi-classical density to speed up our calculation. We can handle arbitrary geometries. The code can be used to study a complicated structure like the band-to-band tunneling device. And naturally, we have more than that. We can include random alloy. We can include surface interface roughness. So that's all.